This is Icon Art Radio. I'm Bill Teeple. Alan Cobb is here and Donna Colby. It's absolutely blank. My mind is blank. Draw some fertile something, nourish it so that something comes out of my mind and
a blank
mouth.
Mind.
Well, I think that's an appropriate beginning for a new year, is a blank slate. Or, you know, crossing the bridge or closing the gate of the past or whatever image we want to use.
Turning over a new leaf.
Yeah, whatever. All these things are wonderful. I think even though the year keeps going around in cycles and the point at which we call the new year is just an arbitrary point, because so many people are joined together in using that arbitrary point for the same purpose of making a new beginning and, you know, refining their goals and all of that, that energy is really there in the atmosphere. And personally, I love New Year's. I think of New Year's as a very spiritual time, a time of catharsis, a time of purification, a time of reordering things. And whether it's our work as an artist or just our way of relating to other people or our health or anything else, that's the energy that I feel right now. So I think that would be a fun thing to just talk about how we relate to the new year.
I also like the idea of a blank mind, mm-hmm. that your mind is blank. Because it isn't.
Well,
it's
the whole cycle of the season sets that up. Because,
yes.
Like, I've just been out of town for a week or so. I'm all in the holiday mood and where you're connecting again with family. You sort of leave all of your everyday worries behind and you go off and you have this sort of connection with family and sort of long-time relationships connecting again, all apart from maybe your everyday life activities. And then I also had a cold recently, which you probably are hearing on the air. And that tends to, like, check you out. So I feel like I've been totally checked out now. And now I am sitting with a blank slate, a blank mind, looking towards the next year, and I know I'll start slipping into it and becoming active and moving and thinking and speaking and doing stuff. But it's actually very fun to be in this state that I'm in right now.
Yeah, well, I think hibernation is healthy from time to time, and in our particular culture, we really don't respect hibernation as much as some other cultures do. You know, there are other cultures who have certain seasons where you just can't do anything. You know, the weather itself keeps you from doing that. And then there are cultures where they pretty much have a little hibernation period in the middle of the day, where many European countries have lengthy lunch hours. All the stores are closed and everything, and you take a little rest break in the middle of the day. But we happen to live in a culture that's pretty much a workaholic, hyper sort of culture, and therefore when we have enforced hibernation, when we have a cold or some other illness, or we get snowed in or have an ice storm or something, there's a kind of feeling of relief, like you were just talking about, that yeah, I guess I have to just relax for a little while.
It really is a feeling of relief. I remember as a kid we used to go from New York City up to the Hudson Highlands for the weekends, and in the wintertime, when I was lucky, we'd get snowed in and we'd be trapped in this wonderful house in the country. Mm-hmm. And nobody could get in or out. And, you know, you had to walk a couple of miles through the snow if you really wanted to get somewhere. So we would be sparing in our use of what was left in the icebox, and we would, you know, sort of have a kind of special attitude towards what we were doing, because we knew that it was in this context of no one but us exists. Mm. You know, the whole world is kind of removed into a silent state.
Well, and it can make the group that you're snowed in with become really close to each other. I think one of the fondest memories of my childhood was when my family got snowed in for 3 days in Pennsylvania, and the snow was so deep that we couldn't even open the doors at all until the snow people came, and because the snow was more than halfway up the door. And the electricity was off, and my mother had a little kind of can of Sterno that she, which I don't even know what Sterno is, but it was some kind of canned heat that she was able to cook something with. And I was probably 11 or 12 at the time. My brother and sister were younger. And the creativity level that kind of came out in the family was wonderful. My dad kept us entertained. He was always kind of the joker of the family. And because it was so cold and we had no heat or anything, we all slept together in a great big bed covered with all the blankets. We ran around and got all the blankets, and we wore our coats to bed, and the whole thing was a great adventure. I don't remember times in my childhood where the weather was perfect nearly as vividly as those 3 days.
Yeah, that was what I would have considered perfect weather at that age.
Yeah.
It was a special event, and all responsibilities connected with the outside world are lifted.
Mm-hmm.
You have none. You can't be expected to do or not do anything because the rest of the world has disappeared for a while.
And I mean, that's actually one reason why I like traveling, because when you're in the airport, some people hate long layovers. You know, they try to like make it as short as possible. When I book a flight, I try to book a really long layover, so that I never have to rush, but also so that I have that spacious interval with absolutely nothing to do other than get to your next gate in time. And if you're not rushing, that's pretty easy to do. But there's this space where people can't even reach you. Now with cell phones, they can reach you. But before they had cell phones, there wasn't even any way anyone could reach you. You were just in this free zone.
Yeah, transition.
Yeah.
So,
well, these are kind of analogs to the blank mind.
Yeah, I think that we really should have more of a conscious awareness of the. I think everybody does with the turning over a new leaf and the new resolution. There's that idea, but even the idea of the clearing the slate and the blank mind this time of the year, it's really good. We really ought to have an icon event around the new year and the blank mind, the blank.
So you have a blank gallery. You have the gallery with nothing on the walls, and people come in and project their own images.
I know, it's something to run with. I like the idea. Because we have this cycle in the day, you know. We have all the activity of the day and all the people. I deal with people all day long. I hardly ever get a moment to myself in the middle of the day. And it's why I like the nighttime so much. Everyone that knows my little drawings knows I draw these pictures of the moon and different phases and the stars and a night environment is because I love to give expression to walking alone at night, because I think I so cherish that quiet time of the day. It's just like there's an emptiness and a blankness and a clearing the slate that happens with the daily cycle. So I've always liked that time when everybody else is asleep and I'm walking under the moon by myself at night, and just that's it. So there's a certain analog too with this time of the year.
Yeah, exactly. Winter is that it is the darkest time of the year as far as the sun goes, but also all the growing things are resting and a lot of the animals are hibernating. And I love the look of a garden in winter. And purposely this year, I didn't pull out all of my dead plants at the end of the season. I left the big broccoli plants that were quite hardy for a long time after the other plants had gone with the light frosts. At the very end, when the broccoli plants finally bit the dust and fell over, they looked so beautiful, the way they were just sort of draped around and not looking like broccoli plants at all, but looking like some interesting work of art lying there. And then when the snow came, they took on another kind of look. And there were some flowers that at the beginning of fall, they were kind of a golden brown. And for some reason, I don't know why, but as the season wore on and I didn't cut them down, they began to turn red, a red brown. And they're beautiful now that with ice and snow all around them and this like reddish dried leaves in a big group make a wonderful artistic display in the yard.
Well, I think it all makes us understand and appreciate change and the cycle of expansion and contraction that everything is under. Coming from Southern California, everything was always the same. There was no season, things, you know. So when I first discovered the seasons and this cycle and the beauty of every phase of it, you know, in Southern California, they try to make plants that bloom all the time. And people associate the beautiful blooms with what they're all about. And no one gets to experience that every part of the plant, the green leaves and the flower and the soil and everything about the garden is the story. And then the change is also just as beautiful. There's the unfoldment of the beautiful pink and yellow flower, or the beautiful fruits, or whatever phase like that. But there's also the change that takes place. So to watch the rose hips, which are fat and plump, shrink and change color and go through a kind of gnarly look, is just as beautiful. So it makes you embrace the beauty of every phase, the beginning, the little first sprout that comes out, and then the development and the full flowering and the fruiting and all of that, and then the receding. Those phases are just as beautiful, and it was really quite marvelous when I saw the changes of the seasons when I first came to the Midwest and then got back into gardening and watched the cycles in the garden that just were the expression of how nature works. And so and it makes you embrace how things change and how things develop and how every stage of the development is beautiful.
And it's good to be reminded at our age of that sort of thing too, because when we were children, like Alan was saying, you know, his favorite weather was when they were snowed in. When we're children and we go outside in all weather, as grown-ups, we don't always do, you know, we sort of grumble if we have to go outside and scrape the ice off our windshield, and very infrequently do we as adults go out like we did as children and look and see the shape of a snowflake on your jacket before it melts, you know, and get awestruck by that, or really look up and see the shape of the icicles coming off of your roof and how interesting they are, or pulling one down and playing with it. Or last year I vowed at the beginning of winter that I would go sledding at some point. I even have a sled, and I never did. And this year I've said the same thing. So I'm saying on the air right now, I'm making a commitment that I'm going to go out and play in the snow at some point this winter, go sledding. It was one of my favorite things to do as a child. And I'm sure that if I just broke that boundary, put on my jacket, got all bundled up, took my sled out, I probably wouldn't want to come in again. I'd probably love it just as much, if not more, because it's been so many years since I've done it. But I think we need to remind ourselves sometimes that we haven't lost the ability to have the kind of wonder that we had as a child. We've just lost the habit.
The smell of woolen gloves with clumps of snow frozen in the fuzz.
Well, and there's the other part of the blank slate and the new year, which is that it's giving birth to something creative that then is going to keep on growing and sprout in the spring or at some point in the future. And that sort of direction is natural. It's not something we have to force to do. I think the Tao Te Ching has some wonderful verse about that you don't accomplish anything by rushing forth or trying to shine or whatever, you know, that it's just by being in this space that we've been talking about, the blank slate, the winter, the new year, the clean slate and all that, that very automatically something new emerges. And it can be surprising to us if we're open and not locking ourselves into an agenda that we imposed on ourselves and never let go of.
Well, you've got me excited about an annual ritual here to have the gallery empty for at least one period of time.
Mm-hmm.
And
we should. What would we do with an empty gallery?
Well, seeds could start to stir in there within the people.
Yeah.
Then we can see the direction of the new year emerging. Something like that.
Yeah. I mean, it even could be an event, a one-day thing where people come in into a blank gallery and sit around and
a solstice.
See what happens.
Thing.
I don't know. I actually saw an exhibit one time that was one, it was in a big museum, but there was one big room that was blank. The walls were all blank, but they had lights in there. And periodically, they would bring objects into the room, or people would walk through the room, and the lights would create shadows on the walls. So there was an exhibit on these blank walls that was constantly changing by the people who visited the museum, by the artist who would sometimes bring in a ladder, sometimes bring in a pole or something like that. And then they had, at some points they would bring in mirrors. So then a mirror would be a part of it. And so it was an ongoing, continually changing exhibit in this bare room. It was wonderful.
Well, we could run the track lights at the far wall instead of the near wall, which would give them a shallower angle, and they'd pick up the shadows of the people much more.
And you'd find the people coming through, when they realized what was going on in that room, they realized that they could make art.
Right.
And they didn't, you know, some of the people would just get goofy and do funny things, you know, and
goofy
other people,
art.
Yeah, making the art that way, but and other people would just be fascinated by their standing image, you know, or they move their hands slowly up or something like that, or just turn their head slightly and see what happened. Because even the colors of the shadows, depending on where you're standing in relation to the light, the shadow can look bluish purple or it can look dark charcoal gray, you know, whatever. It was wonderful what people discovered by playing around with that. The shadows in that room.
Well, it definitely refines the sensibilities.
So to
take things back to the most minimalist stage, least excitation, state of least excitation, we can...
We have almost enough time to do it for this art walk.
You mean to this evening?
Quickly take down
tonight.
All the paintings. I guess I need to mention to the audience that this show is being recorded just before an art walk, just a few hours before an art walk.
And I just suddenly remembered another take on the blank wall that I saw in a museum. It was an exhibit by young people, and it was called Art Without Frames or whatever. And all of the art in this exhibit was directly on the walls, but one of the walls was completely blank. And what they did, they brought in a group of people and a little band, and the band started playing music, and the people were invited to get up. They had big pieces of charcoal. People were invited to get up and go near the wall with their, you know, holding their arms out with the charcoal and dance to the music next to the wall. And then the marks that the charcoal made on the wall as they were dancing became the painting, the drawing or whatever. And it was wonderful. It was because people were dancing in different ways. And sometimes you'd find like a whole bunch of little up and down marks all together. Some people would be leaping around in sweeping gestures. And so there would be these long sweeping lines. And then all of these would interact with each other. And they made a videotape of the whole. I actually didn't see the event itself. I saw the film that they made of the event, which once the drawing was on the wall, that's what you saw. You saw this drawing on the wall, and then they were continually playing the videotape of the creation of it, and you saw the people dancing and heard the music. It was really wonderful.
Well, the blank mind.
Yes, a blank radio show.
We've discussed this once before.
You can do it on television, but you can't do it on the radio. There has to be something to let the audience know that the show is still on, even if no one is making a sound. A steady ticking would suffice.
So how much time do we have left?
We have 6 minutes
remaining. We can sit here and be blank for 6 minutes, and people wonder what's going on. Well, we've led us to that point. So where do we go from here? What is the seed that will emerge here? What is 2009 bringing for ICON?
Well, 2009 is the year that we want to establish our financial self-sufficiency. And I think we picked a good year to do that, since everyone else is watching their financial self-sufficiency disappear. So there must be something we can do that's different, that will result in increasing our opportunity to inspire people and excite people, bring out the creativity in people. Because I think that's one of the roles of ICON, kind of beyond art per se. It's that notion that they were saying at the Department of Cultural Affairs in Iowa, Department of Cultural Affairs, when they came to visit for a little conference some months ago, that there's a surprising correlation, or perhaps not surprising to everyone, but a very noticeable correlation between the economic development of an area and the amount of attention that is put on what you might call in general terms the cultural enrichment of that area. Because when people begin to see creative things going on in their environment, they get ideas, even if they're not interested in those particular creative things. Just knowing that someone is taking chances and moving in a particular direction, whether it's art or cultural heritage or history or community activities. A community that isn't doing things isn't likely to be starting new businesses either, isn't likely to be investing in the future as much. Whereas a community that's busy experimenting and trying things, and they're creative, energetic, innovative people doing things, even if the things they're doing are not economically substantial, it creates an atmosphere and it sort of opens people up to possibilities. And of course, whether we have a depression or a recession or a boom year is all a matter of attitude anyway. It's all just how we happen to feel about the future. And I think cultural activities get people thinking on a larger scale, where the future isn't as difficult to imagine.
Because that's what creativity is.
Yeah.
It's just trying something new. The whole experimentation, exploration area, you know, field of life is what creativity is all about, and you can't have progress without trying something, without being imaginative about, you know, let's see what happens if we do this in any category of life.
Well, I think that the economic condition that is a global phenomenon is actually a clearing the slate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And where the new ideas move, because we were bogged down economically and culturally in a certain state of mind, and I think that that's giving way. Things are coming back into balance again. They got out of balance, and with that clearing in the slate, I think the cultural leaders will set the direction for culture in the coming years. So that's our job.
Mm-hmm.
For Fairfield and the region.
I have to fertilize the ground a little bit. Get more blank minds. Mm-hmm. You know, the beauty of it is that once you get the mind really blank, like if you're stuck in an airport waiting for a plane or you know, stuck in a waiting room waiting for whatever you wait for there, or trapped in your house and the power is off and there's no TV and maybe there isn't even enough light to read books by, it doesn't take very long for that blank mind to fill itself up with things you would do if you had the resources. Mm. And I think there's an analog to that in the economic situation. As people lose their resources, they start to value what they have and they start to look at what can be done, and suddenly what can be done opens up into a whole new world of possibilities. And then as the resources begin to come back, they know what to do with them instead of just accumulating them for the sake of accumulating them.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's really good to keep in mind always that whatever happens, there's something we can learn from it if we're not just sitting around grumbling about it.
Listening to Icon Art Radio, a production of Iowa Contemporary Art, Fairfield.